Illinois farmers have a lot of questions about U.S. trade policy, like when the dispute with China will get resolved or if the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement will pass through Congress. American Farm Bureau economist Veronica Nye speaks with farmers this week to provide some answers. She was a featured speaker at yesterday's Illinois Farm Bureau Income and Innovations Conference in Normal. WGLT's Ryan Denham caught up with her about the outlook for exports through the lens of trade, treaties, and tariffs.
I think the way I'd have to describe it best is muddled. There's a lot of things going in favor of U.S. ag exports. The fundamentals that have always been true about U.S. agriculture are still there. We're still a low-cost producer of most items. We have a strong transportation system, and we're reliable suppliers. Coupled, unfortunately, on the producer side with fairly low commodity prices, but that makes us pretty competitive in a global market. Now, that being said, the policy side has become more challenging over the last couple of years. I think the discussion on trade has changed. I don't know if that's forever change or just short term, but certainly the situation we find ourselves in with China casts a lot of shadows onto U.S. ag exports. Last year was down from 2017, and we're expecting a further decline in 2019 as compared to last year. So continuing downward pressure from China, even though we're getting a lot of pickup of additional purchases from other partners.
Well, speaking of the shadow being cast with the situation with China, I imagine it would be easy to be pessimistic. You attend a conference like this, and you're hearing things, you're getting updates on where things stand, and it's obviously a challenging time for farmers right now. What do you want people to take away from your remarks? What is sort of the mood you're going to be trying to strike with where we are, where we're going?
Well, certainly it's not all doom and gloom. There's the administration has been working hard with the House Democrats, with Congress at large, to try to get USMCA passed. Certainly we've welcomed a lot of our members from all over the United States into our offices in D.C., making those Hill visits. So certainly from the standpoint of USMCA, the revision of NAFTA, there's a lot, I think, to be positive about. That agreement, as we know, has done a lot for U.S. agriculture. We went from exporting about $9 billion per year prior to that agreement to $40 billion per year. So, you know, about a third of U.S. ag exports now go to Canada and Mexico. We know how important that market is. And I think once we get this passed through Congress, it really sets the stage for other trade partners that the U.S. is willing and able to complete trade agreements, and then we can get them passed through Congress. That will be incredibly important, I think, for U.S. agriculture, for the U.S. economy at large. But as we look forward to engaging in new trade agreements or maybe more positive expansions of trade, that certainly sets a positive tone. But I don't want to be Pollyanna-ish. There's a lot of headwinds as well. Unfortunately, on the China side, I think an outcome is not a positive outcome or total resolution of our issues with China isn't on the near horizon. So it's a balancing act of staying positive on trade and recognize how important it is to the industry and trying to seek new opportunities while still paying a lot of attention to that big market that has been challenging the last couple of years.
And I want to get back to USMCA, the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, but a couple more questions on China. As trade negotiations have gone on between the U.S. and China, has China actually bought some amount of soybeans? Has it been enough to make any meaningful difference to American farmers, or have those numbers still been very, very low?
Indeed, China has bought some soybeans. They've made some commitments to buy some soybeans, which there's a lot of difference between signing a contract and making a commitment to purchase and actually exporting. So we always view those. I'm from Missouri originally. You have to show me the actual exports. And I think the whole ag sector is kind of in that space right now. So we're excited about those commitments to purchase. Though, to be honest, they pale in comparison to where we were just 2 years ago. So more so than significant market impact, it's more, I think, maybe a commitment of goodwill by the Chinese that we do intend to buy U.S. ag products. We still enjoy U.S. ag products, and we intend to continue this relationship into the future. But As far as making a dent in the hole we've sort of dug for ourselves, it's a teaspoon where we've taken out a shovel of dirt.
Are there other buyers of big scale for our soybeans internationally? Any other developing economies that could pick up some of what we've lost with China?
Back in, let's see, it would have been around March or April, the total U.S. exports for the calendar year 2018 came out. And we saw that actually ag exports increased by value by 1% in 2018 compared to 2017. And I think that surprised a lot of people. But the big driver, as you alluded to, are that we've had other countries step up. They've made additional purchases. Now, when you have a market that's more than 50% of your total exports of a particular commodity, it takes a lot of growth in a lot of smaller markets to try to make up for that large market. We haven't got there yet, I'll be honest. We still have a lot of soybeans in storage from last year. We're looking at a good production year this year. There's a lot of concern about what the soybean market's going to look like going into the fall and winter. But certainly we have had additional purchases. The EU made some big purchases last year. The Mexicans continue to be good purchasers. So there's a lot of sort of small-scale additions that are going on. But, again, it takes a lot of those to add up to that big loss that we've seen from China.
Well, let's circle back then to something you alluded to before, USMCA, the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement. Where does that stand as of now in its efforts to get it through Congress?
Well, right now, Congress is about to take their summer break, and so there was a lot of hope that USMCA might get voted on before the summer break, but obviously that's not going to happen. Right now, it appears as if the cards will line up. Fingers crossed, you can't see me in this radio, but I'm crossing all my fingers, that we could look at a September-October vote on USMCA. So right now, the administration has fulfilled all of the obligations that they are mandated to do through the Trade Promotion Authority. That TPA makes it so when a trade agreement is sent over to Congress, they just have an up or down vote, and it only has to pass by a simple majority, whereas you could imagine sending a trade agreement up without Trade Promotion Authority. Certainly, you would have a lot of negotiators, probably somewhere around 535. So TPA makes it so that there's a few more rules around what the administration has to do when negotiating a trade agreement. So the good news is they've done all those. The next step will be for the administration to send the implementing legislation to Congress, and then the votes will occur. The first vote has to occur in the House because there are tariff implications and therefore revenue implications. So any revenue bill has to start in the House. So all eyes are right there. Of course, everyone knows that Democrats have control of the House and Republicans control of the Senate. I think generally folks think that the Senate vote will be fairly easy. You should never call a trade vote easy, but easy enough. So all of the focus has been on the House side. Speaker Pelosi has done an excellent job of corralling her caucus and saying, okay, what are the problems that we think we have with this agreement? They've put them into four different buckets, and she's put nine different representatives on these four sort of issues, and they've been actively negotiating with USTR to try to find a resolution. All of the communication and all that we've seen between both the House Democrats and USTR is that relationship has been very good, that there have been a lot of active meetings, a lot of face-to-face, and that folks believe that they're negotiating in earnest. So over this summer break, August recess, we would expect there to continue to be active work between the House and USTR, so that when they come back in September, we're ready to go.
Last week, Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue unveiled details of the latest aid package for farmers who've lost export sales for all the reasons we've just talked about. It includes $14 billion in direct payments to farmers. There's been an analysis from University of Missouri's Food and Ag Policy Research Institute that last year's aid package actually overpaid farmers. Other ag economists have come to the same conclusion. What have you seen? What is the American Farm Bureau's sense of how much is the right amount for these very large direct payment programs?
Well, I think we've been fairly clear throughout this trade dispute that we'd much rather get our income and our sales from the market rather than from a government program. It's the level of payment also is fairly clear that we're not making up for the lost sales that we would have seen. Certainly, USDA is using a trade model to try to estimate the total impact. That includes both direct lost sales and indirect sales. So when we look at, I'll put it squarely put on my economist hat, and we'll talk about opportunity costs and say that, hey, if we're still selling product, but we're having to take a pretty significant price discount because we're no longer the supplier of choice, those costs should also add in. So USDA's done yeoman's work of trying to estimate those payments and trying to do it in a timely manner. That's always something that is challenging, and we certainly appreciate all the work that they've done to get to the point where farmers in the year they're feeling the impact will have some relief. So certainly we will be debating the merits of the market facilitation program, the trade aid program, for quite some time, but we certainly appreciate all the efforts that USDA has gone into it, and I think we'll all learn quite a bit from these programs.
Do you think the past couple of years of uncertainty about trade should prompt like a larger conversation about American farm policy? I've heard that there's this argument that this heavy reliance on subsidy-supported global trade is not sustainable, particularly with the situation we're in now. We've hitched our wagons to the China market, and look what it's done to us. Has this been a wake-up call for any kind of larger conversation about this big trade policy we've gotten ourselves into?
Well, I think what we have to keep in mind is that U.S. agriculture is incredibly productive. It's one of the things we do best here in the United States. We have a large country, and we're able to grow a wide variety of foods and fiber. Certainly, our productivity is outpacing U.S. Population growth, our per capita consumption. And so the only way U.S. agriculture is going to be successful into the future is to export and find customers, that 95% of customers that live outside of the United States. I think that that's going to continue to be true. And I don't think anyone in agriculture thinks otherwise. Maybe what the Chinese situation has illuminated is that reliance on one customer it can be dangerous. It can be shaky as far as making sure that you have a fairly reliable customer base. I think when you look at one of the smaller portions of the trade aid package that doesn't get as much discussion, but is the Ag Trade Program, which is such a clever title, but it's basically more promotion dollars for U.S. export organizations to go out and promote their commodities. The last couple of days, I was at the U.S. Grains Council meeting, and they spent a lot of time talking about how they were planning to use the monies that they had received. They were planning on spending a lot more time, energy, and frankly, dollars promoting U.S. corn, soybeans, and barley in Africa, West and East Africa. They were planning on spending more money in India and other South Asia countries, other Southeast Asia countries. And it's not that they didn't know that those markets had potential in the past, but there's a limit to the amount of dollars and effort that you can put forward to promoting U.S. ag exports. I think this recent trade situation has reminded us that it's better to make sure that we're fertilizing multiple markets rather than relying on one. So not to say that the Chinese market isn't important. It's incredibly important. I think that's fairly obvious. And it's an important – China is an important customer and will continue to be. But maybe we should be looking elsewhere as well and not give quite all of the spotlight to just one customer.
That's American Farm Bureau trade economist Veronica Nye speaking with GLT's Ryan Denham at the Illinois Farm Bureau's Farm Income and Innovations Conference yesterday in Normal.